no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Okay.
All right.
In this week's moment of vulnerability.
Oh, really? We're going to do that again.
We're going to do it again.
Moment
we're going to talk about what it means to be vulnerable.
Really? Okay, sure.
I got chocolate all over my new UFO book.
I did see that. And I commented on your Instagram, that's not chocolate, implying, of course,
shit.
That it was Dookie. Okay.
It's not shit.
It was not. Well, that's better.
No.
Yeah.
Can you imagine leaving the bathroom with visible shit all over your hands? Like, what
no.
What kind of monster would I be?
I don't know.
There were several people who then did that joke. I heard, you know,
right.
quote unquote chocolate,
sure.
on the Instagram post. But then it's like, you honestly thought, me, a man, 34 years old, I have a fiance.
Sure.
I have,
yeah.
like, a life. I have all these things that I would leave a room with smudgeable Duke
mm-hmm.
on
well,
my thumbs.
I thought you might be reading it in the bathroom. I think that's where you do a lot of reading. That's where a lot of people do a lot of reading. It's totally normal.
But I would be wiping after I'm done reading.
Sure.
I wouldn't wipe and then sit and shit.
Well, I don't know what you do in there. This is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That's the man who is currently under a lot, kind of an investigation regarding what is the smudge in your UFO book. UFO enthusiast Henry Zebrowski.
No, I did the thing where I just, you know, you got to pick up the book and you look at it. I just want to see, I mean, like, all right, let's take a look at this evidence. And then you like flick off a little piece of it and put it on your tongue. It's chocolate.
Oh, thank God. It could go the other way. Travis Morningstar will also chime in every now and again if you hear a third voice. That's his.
That's me.
All right.
That's you.
I've told this story multiple times on Roundtable of Gentlemen. Go back and listen to those old episodes if you want to hear us much more intoxicated and far younger. And I filled out my ACTs because in Wisconsin you do the ACT, not the SAT. And I had mm-hmm. nothing but chocolate donuts for breakfast. And I was eating during the exam. They found it to be a little bit offensive to the seriousness of the exam. And I turned it in with a bunch of thumbprints that had chocolate donut smear all over it. And the woman was just like, I don't know if this is going to go through the scanner. But it did go through the scanner, and I got into a state school. So, thank God.
God, you must have been such a scary, huge, mentally handicapped man in school. Like, it's been like, who is this Gargantham? Where it's like, I can secretly read.
Yes.
Like, you can, which is very good. You always hide in plain sight.
Oh, absolutely.
I also have been having a mystery happening. There's a bunch of updates we're going to do today.
Yes, we have
to. We have a bunch of... There's some new news.
Who would have thought Joe Exotic?
We're gonna cover.
Joe Exotic is like the Jelly of the Month Club version of a human. He just keeps on giving. It's crazy
the
rabbit holes that we've gone in this week on Joe Exotic alone.
There's so many conspiracy theories around him as well, which
is
very fun. Love his facial hair.
Of course.
Love his attitude.
Yeah.
But he also may be a murderer, and I don't love him because he maybe abused many tigers, but we'll get
into
it.
Yes, it seems like that.
But in my neighborhood, so I've been walking around.
Right.
When, you know, walking the dog at night.
Uh-huh.
Natalie and I have been seeing, straight up, this is not a bit.
This is not a bit?
Puddles of what can only be described as slime.
Really?
In various spots in my neighborhood that keep showing up. One looks like, a couple of spots look like straight, like, it's like high strangeness, man.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like fucking... of movie throw up where it's got like mixed vegetables in it and it's like orange. And like, I read while I walk Wendy. So I've been also prepping for the next episode. So I'm already in kind of a high strangest mood.
Mm-hmm.
This shit's been happening for like 2 weeks. And then straight up a puddle of fuchsia gel.
Right.
Like a,
the secret of the like, ooze.
I mean, do you think it's just an overall, like it's a side effect of massive, massive pollution? Is that possible?
Yes.
Also, you walk the dog while reading. It might be Wendy Pooh in the book.
Is it the smoothie craze of LA?
It could be a smoothie revolution happening where people are just like, fuck this, I like chewing my food. And then just slam it into the ground. But I'm saying the dogs are all fascinated by it. All of the neighbors and I are onto the conspiracy. We're all talking. We're all trying to investigate, find out who is doing this
right.
shit. If it's a who, or if the shit's coming out of the ground, which is bad, because then all of a sudden we're in a weird Ghostbusters 2 proto scenario there is a river of slime underneath Los Angeles, which we already know there is.
So instead of a book club, you started a slime gang?
We're on the slime gang. And I'm president of the slime gang, which I've, they don't know that I've claimed.
They'd have to name your area of Hollywood. They'd have to rename it Nilbog, which is goblin backwards. And then you could star in your own Trolls 2 movie, which again is actually about goblins. So that'll be exciting.
This may or may not be a gigantic integrated marketing scheme for Pitch, such as what you're talking about.
It
but
could be.
Until we find out for sure, the mystery remains very tantalizing. And you'd want to maybe pay money to hear about it, right?
Well, of course. Of course, people would love to hear money to hear about it. And if I would actually pay you $5 per time I heard the story.
See?
But when it comes to these slime pits, be very careful with Wendy. Dogs like to jump in all puddles. They don't care
yes.
what's in there. And let's not forget what happened with Bebop and Rocksteady of the TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She already kind of looks like Bebop or Rocksteady. I can't think of the one exactly that she looks like. She
but
might just turn into a supervillain.
That would be nice, though. That's so much more Wendy.
It could be more Wendy. It is a lot more Wendy, but then Wendy would be a really bad, bad thing, and then it would have a gun, and it would shoot at random turtles, I guess.
It would be loyal to me.
Sure.
Speaking All of right. goblins, we want to talk about Mandy for a second?
Mandy is... We're going to talk about it for a second. The problem is that Kissel hasn't seen it, which is I feel is already like an inner betrayal. A part of it, of like a lack of understanding of me, because Mandy is me.
Well,
it's
is
like
it
there's
the,
a film.
Is it in the movie theaters right now?
Yes.
Or?
No.
What? Yeah.
No. Well, it is.
So how'd you
but
get
it's
it?
Not the on the machine, the video machine. Where I go click, click, click.
Is it on
I go
iTunes? Yeah. Okay.
I go to the voice subscription. My favorite. I love doing voice search because then you go like. Schindler's List 2, Electric Boogaloo, and then it pops up, and it's fun to do. You can do it. It's all fake titles.
I don't think that that would. Yeah, that probably wouldn't pop up there. And thank God, because that would be a film that might be panned. That might
just got longer.
That might be the name of the Jerry Lewis French film that was under wraps, and I believe still is, forever and ever and ever, because if it's insensitive content, let's say.
Patton Oswalt in his Vault of Irony has a copy of it, apparently.
Oh, very good.
But no, it's honestly, I would like to talk about Mandy in further depth. I'm going to wait for Kissel to see it, but I will say my friends,
uh-huh.
Shane Morton and Kyle Yaclin that do all the makeup for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and Casper Kelly that writes and creates Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, wrote and directed the entire Cheddar Goblin sequence, which is
really?
A surprise and a delight, and Cheddar Goblin is it's my energy person.
So
it's
this
my
is
fucking sire.
This is a spoiler that you just gave.
No, I don't think
I don't
so.
Know.
It seems like a bit of a spoiler because I didn't know there was going to be cheddar goblins. I was just in Wisconsin and I saw quite a few cheddar goblins while watching the Pack Attack versus the Vikings, which ended in a tie, which was actually kind of nice because my friends are Vikings fans and I'm a Packers fan. So it was nice to have we both lost. Normal.
First of all, you stop being racist about Wisconsin because I believe cheddar goblin is a slur
no.
in the Midwest.
They wear cheese on their heads. They love it.
When Cheddar Goblin came on the screen, I audibly gasped.
Delightful. It is just the best film. Nick Cage pulls out all the fucking stops. That man can act. Woo!
I love him.
He can act. He act, man, whenever he wants to.
Yes.
There are times when he does it.
When he turns it on, there is nobody better, but it's really strange. When he turns it off, I almost like the movies better. There is nothing greater than a phoned-in movie by Nicolas Cage. He just makes me laugh. I audibly
laugh. I'll take him
laugh.
All the time. Yeah. And any way or shape or form I can get Nick Cage, that's how I take it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let me do this quick update here on Joe Exotic. Now, we did not even bring this up the first time we spoke about him. But evidently, in a tragic turn of events, his 23-year-old husband, Travis Maldonado, which is Joe Exotic's actual last name as well. He took his last name. How sweet is that? He committed suicide at 23. But now there is a lot of speculation. And whether it be true or not. But given the nature of Joe Exotic's character and his love of guns and his love of being a little bit, let's say, over the top with his antics, that he may have had something to do with the death of his husband. But we don't know that.
Look, as a Travis, I will say, if you have the name Travis, you are a victim. And
yes,
so you are going to be victimized.
Right. Travis Walton was a massive victim in terms of being raped by aliens. Like, this is they get picked up all the time. I'm sorry, Travis, that your people are like this.
At least I'm not a Trevor, though.
The Suicide
Team. Okay, congrats.
Well, Trevor's are doing very good. They have a lot of khakis and boat shoes, and who doesn't love to be on a boat wearing khakis?
Trevor should never be left alone with your nephew. You know what I mean? A Travis needs the many nephews in order to be defended by the neighborhood children.
The suicide took place in Wynnewood, Oklahoma, which is a fun name for a place, and it happened at 12:30 p.m. Deputies responded to a 911 call reporting a man had shot himself in the head in the business office at Joe Exotic's park at 12:30, which I will say, if Joe Exotic is going to be sort of if there's some speculation that he did it, at 12:30 in the afternoon, he can't be that drunk at that time, right? I feel like if he did do it, it would be like 2 a.m. and after a lot of Molly, ecstasy, a bunch of BLs.
I don't know. I would say there is... It's 50-50, because sometimes in the morning, that's when I'm the most mad. And like, yes, maybe like something just pops off, and you've been... Well, because what do we know about Joe Exotic? He loved his guns.
He did.
He was very often brandishing them. He has a little bit of a Phil Spector-like aura around him.
Yeah.
He attempted... he threatened to murder a woman.
Well, of course, that's why we talked about him in the first place. He wanted to murder a woman who ran another animal sanctuary because she criticized him for how poorly he ran his animal sanctuary. So then to prove what a great animal lover he is, he tried to hire someone to kill that woman.
He tried to murder this person.
Right.
So the part of it is that's very intense.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's got a lot of the character. It may be there. Maybe he got in the wrong. Maybe the fucking boyfriend ticked him off. We know. Is he in jail yet? Is he at least been picked up?
I don't believe he's currently in jail. I think he's still awaiting trial, and we will have the trial of the century. We will keep you updated on the trial of Joe Exotic. 23-year-old Travis Maldonado, the husband of Joe Exotic, he was pronounced dead at the scene by emergency officials, and authorities say the cause of death is the fatal gunshot wound to the head. But the manner of death remains to be determined, which I don't really understand what that means. The sheriff says employees routinely carried firearms during their park duties, and a .45 caliber was recovered at the scene, and security footage is being reviewed. So if Joe did do this, wouldn't you just feed him? Wouldn't you go full? What was that? Like the movie Hannibal? Wouldn't you feed him to the animals?
Well, I think in a weird way, he knows that that's a mistreatment of the animal. And while he's been doing a lot of other mistreating of the tigers,
sure.
I feel that it's way more impulsive. I think that when he is mistreating his tigers, it's like a way where you're dealing with these tigers and you're kind of dumb. And you also have some weird fervent love of tigers. So you kind of lightly abuse them in his way.
Well, it seemed like it was pretty heavily. Pretty
scared with his guns and shit. So I think he shot him in the head and then he's just like... Oh, but it's that thing where you're just like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, bam, 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 bam. And they're like, oh, no.
Come on.
Like, you immediately regret what you've done.
Yeah, that's exactly the noise that would be made if the mom from Bob's Burger accidentally murdered Bob. This was an interesting little thing that they chose to put in this article. It is not known if Maldonado was a licensed firearm carrier, either in armed security capacity or as an open carry licensee. So that's a crime. That is also a crime if he doesn't have the license to hold the gun.
Yeah, you can't arrest his dead body.
No.
I do think, and also I will say this is one claim that's now being tied to him. He has a lot of suspicious shit. I had a listener straight up tell me they have some insider information that the lovely song that we played of his last week was not even sung by him. There is some consternation about whether or not it is his voice.
How sad would it be to be the person who sings that song and then doesn't get credit for it? I mean, this is not like Milli Vanilli, where the folks who actually sang that song got more money and less maligned than Milli Vanilli. Who the heck would do that?
It was Travis, and obviously he was silenced forever.
Maybe.
Yes, it's for a secret. Have you ever seen The Phantom of the Opera?
Yes, I have.
Or know anything of The Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, of course. He's a Phantom in the Opera.
There's a man that comes... If there's anybody that could be entranced by Joe Exotic, is a man, a plainsman, who is his neighbor, whose face was destroyed in Iraq, right? And he's got a permanent skull face. Like, but let's say the whole first chunk of his meat was removed from his face.
Okay.
Where he's just eyeballs, open skull, nose, big clattering teeth, his tongue slipping out of his fucking skeleton mouth all the time. And he's like, all I want to do is sing my beautiful song. But the record companies say my visage is too frightening.
But the Joe Exotic songs were great.
That's what I'm saying. But Joe Exotic, but that's like, but when he starts singing, it comes out like this. Mm. He's got a beautiful voice, and Joe Exotic's like, I'm a freak. I'm a fringe person. I'm a man with different ideas about society.
Right.
I'll help you, you horrible phantom man. And then all of a sudden, he's mousy because he's like, I got the face to move units.
Uh-huh.
And you got the voice to move units.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. It's possible. I suppose it is possible. And if that person did lose his face in Iraq, thank you for your service and what a beautiful voice you have. This entirely made up person that Henry just created.
That lie could also be a lie. Maybe it wasn't ever done in Iraq. Maybe it was burned off by a town and knew he was molesting all the children of the town. And then he fabricated another story, because I wouldn't even put that outside of Joe Exotic as well.
Well, let's not say that about
here.
Somebody with no evidence whatsoever. This
but
is
we
a
don't
face...
know anything about
well, that's
the man
why...
with no face. He technically
oh, the man with no
yet.
Face. I see.
Yeah.
Yes.
He just made up a story about losing his face in 9/11 or something, but it really he lost his face to an angry town searching for revenge.
Okay, that's possible. This is according to a Facebook post by a fellow that I'm not going to name, although he did put it on Facebook, so technically it's public, but we don't need to go too crazy here. He calls this pure karma, Joe Exotic getting busted for this murder for hire. He says he produced a reality show with this asshole 4 years ago and ended up walking away when he found out what a criminal he was. And you know you have to be a really bad person if you're bad in the reality show business, because everyone in that business is pretty horrible. Joe Exotic, as he went by, ran a small roadside zoo. He was abusive to the animals and worse to the poor people working for him. He says he finally ended production of the $1 million show. Looking at the picture of this guy, I don't know if this was a $1 million reality show, but that is what it is. After he burned my TV studio inside the zoo to the ground out of anger. So it seems like Joe Exotic may have, he calls him a crazy gay cowboy, as he called himself. Joe shot his gun several times inside the zoo, just inside the zoo, just to scare me, killed older tigers to make room for new baby cubs, and of course is even suspected in the supposed suicide of his husband. Joe was 55 at the time. So the reality show fell apart when Joe Exotic burned down the man's recording studio. Right there in his own park. So
that's
interesting
passion.
Guy. It's passion.
You did accidentally.
You know what? It is passion.
It's passion. I will say, instead of saying cubs, you did accidentally say cums.
Oh,
but I
did
think
I?
It's really great. You said little tiger cums.
No, I just, I'm pretty just sure laughing. I said cubs. Nonetheless,
he's gotta kill the old people and you make room for all this fucking striped tiger gum.
All right. Well, let's not get into male vitality pills here, which I'm sure that already exists. I'm sure Alex Jones is selling that exact product right now.
Absolutely. I will. So Joe Exotic is a story we're going to come back to. I also want to watch that doc. He was on a Louis documentary, a Louis Theroux documentary series.
I know. I want to see
that.
I'd
like to check out.
Louis Theroux. Yeah. I usually don't like when documentarians put themselves in it, but when he does it, I don't mind it because there's something about him I find kind of charismatic.
I like him better than Nick Broomfield, because Nick Broomfield puts himself in this scenario in a way that's very obnoxious.
Yes.
Louis Theroux is naturally very aloof, but he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
I think he's cute and fun.
He's British. Isn't he British?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And my Scientology movie, well worth a view if you haven't seen it yet. Okay. What story do we want to do? We need to do something on aliens here, Henry.
We will do that. I want to first cover, there's an update talking that, well, there's not much known.
Okay.
But we'll kind of, this is one of those strings of stories we can follow. A Border Patrol agent has confessed to the murder of three women. Juan David Ortiz.
I believe it was four women.
I believe, yes, correct. It is four women. Originally, he said three. There's another person that was found. They are now really pretty, they are pretty certain that there are more bodies.
Yeah.
He admitted to a bunch of shit. He tried to commit suicide by cop by using his phone. So essentially what happened was he had taken a sex worker and they were driving along the road. He flipped out. She started bringing up, like, do you know anything? Like, one of my friends was missing.
Right.
Because it was four sex workers in the... Which area of the country is this? Laredo, Texas.
In Laredo, yep.
Yes, and they basically, she was like, you know, a bunch of my friends were have been gone missing, and I'm really concerned about them. And he freaked out. He tried to kill her. She got away. Mm-hmm. Found a trooper that was filling up his car at a gas station. They went looking for him at his house. He wasn't there. He disappeared. He killed two more women that night.
Yeah,
and then came back, tried to commit suicide by cop by using his phone. Like pulling out like it's a gun.
Right.
They didn't fall for it somehow of all the times they do this.
Right.
And then they just fucking picked him up. They arrested him and he confessed. And so they're saying the last thing that he said, they don't really know anything about motive. He did it sort of execution style, which is very sad. It seems that he said that he did it out of disrespect for sex workers and he hated their kind.
The man's name was Juan David Ortiz. And the story that Henry referenced with the woman, that was a white pickup truck. They were driving along, as Henry said, and evidently it got so strange and so tense. She said he reacted so strangely. She later told the authorities that the situation had grown so tense that she vomited in the front yard before they left for a gas station. The woman's mind lingered on Melissa. She wanted to keep talking about her. That's when he produced a gun and he grabbed a hold of her shirt. And thankfully, she was able to jump out of the truck. Talk about really this reminds me, not in the severity to some degree, I guess, but the toy box killer, the woman who was able to escape there. How horrifying is that when you're just running along the highway in the middle of nowhere? And just thank God somebody found her and believed her story and were able to bust this dude.
Well, he's very similar to a Robert Hansen, where it's obvious it's a hatred towards women. They like to use guns because it is a painless way for them to kill somebody. It's a coward's way to kill somebody really fast.
Right.
And he was a very, very intense Law and Order dude.
Yeah.
Now, of course, now it's all the speculation. Everybody's surrounding it with all of this bullshit about, well, then how do they screen the people that work for the Border Patrol? Well, like, that's not really what this is about. Like, there's really not much screening you can do when somebody's just a horrible asshole and then chooses the cowardly way to kill people.
Well, and also, he was a 10-year veteran of the Border Patrol, kind of climbing up the ranks there. And from my understanding, these four murders happened pretty fast, back to back to back to back. He wasn't working for a long time. There weren't a lot of warning signs, is my understanding. And the Webb County,
we don't know yet.
We don't
That's
know. We don't know. Yes, the Webb County Sheriff Martin Kuhler. He really didn't mix any words here. He said, "We consider this man to be a serial killer who was preying on one victim after another." So, you know, it's a good thing, I guess, with the technology of our time, they were able to bust this guy before who knows how many he would have killed. I'm sure if you once you break that barrier down, I suppose you just keep on going with it.
Well, once you pop the fun, don't stop. It's really fucked. It's one of those things you get into it inside your own head and becomes easier each time you do it. And this guy was talking about, like, God, it's so fucking frightening. Just get that idea of driving along the road and seeing the woman come screaming out of the fucking brush.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's very the beginning of a fucking horror movie. But the same thing happened with Robert Hansen.
Yep. And then, of course, if you're in the car, it's also kind of a conundrum because you don't know if it's a trap and if someone's then going to go and kill you or something. So it takes a lot of it takes a lot of faith in humanity to some degree to stop and help somebody out, specifically nowadays where everyone is just so cautious and constantly on edge regarding strangers.
Well, it's very scary. I think about all. Well, this is more of an innocent story. I was in New York, probably one of the first times I was the first like year, couple months I was in New York, and a blind man came up to me and he was like, "Can you help me find the F train?" I was like, "Absolutely. I am your Batman. I'm here to help you."
Good.
And I went and I helped him with the get on the train, and he's with me. And he's like, "Can you help me find the exit to get out?" I was like, "Sure. Yeah." This is before I had a job.
Uh-oh.
Help him outside of the train station.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, he's like, "Where's 74th Street?" I was like, "Oh, you know, it's 10 blocks south." He's like, "Can you help me there?" And
oh,
I'm
my
here
gosh.
To this point just being like, how'd you even get here?
Right, right.
You mean, how'd you even get the address where it's just stuff like, you know, like, because it's to the level where I'm taken to the street corner and he's like, "Are those cars? What are those horrible noises? Is this a city?"
Right,
like,
right.
Like, did you just get dropped off here? Like, I don't know what happened.
Right.
Now you're helping this dude for fucking 45 minutes. So this is the problem with helping people.
It is this. It can never. Once you give an inch, they're going to take a mile. Is that what you're saying?
It just never.
No, there are honestly. It sounds a little crass, but there are times in New York. I have done the exact same thing where it just. Literally will take you 15 to 20 minutes. There is a woman that I live with, who I not live with, but she's in my hotel comp or she's in my apartment Whoa. Complex, and she's great. But she's on the 6th floor, and if you see her with groceries coming up, you gotta help her. All 6.
You're doing it.
So you gotta haul, so it takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and you're already running late. But you just have to do it because that's what we do. We help out as many people as we possibly can.
I told this story on last stream, but when I was like 10 and living in Kansas in a trailer park, this bloody woman came screaming out of the forest, running down our street, and my mom was on our porch. It was like 2 a.m, and she started screaming for help and asking and banging on doors. Nobody would come to their door because, of course, it's a screaming bloody woman. But my mom was smoking a blunt and drinking, and so she said, "Oh, yeah. Of course, I'll take you to the police
station."
Hell
yeah, I'm fucking super relaxed.
Yeah. So my mom grabbed myself and my sister, and we jumped in the car. And I'm sitting next to this bloody screaming woman who's like sobbing heavily on me. And we pull out of the trailer park, and a black truck with its high beams on starts chasing us, and a guy with a gun is trying to shoot out our tires.
Travis.
And my mom, it just like fucking Gran Turismo's all the way to the police station and gets the woman to the police station. Apparently it was a love triangle gone awry.
Sounds like it didn't go great, but just goes to show you not all heroes are sober. And that's really good to remember.
That's what this is about.
That's what that's all about.
I'm way more likely to put myself in harm's way if I've been smoking weed because I'm more fucking open to the universe.
Sure.
I'm a little bit more willing to be easy breezy cover girl about it, where just me and my regular, I'm pretty upsetting as a person.
Yes.
As a Satanist, I do believe, as a Satanist, my stance is you need to take care of your tribe and your territory. So for me, within 10 blocks of my home, that is my territory.
Uh-huh. Well,
police it.
Uh-huh. I do believe that George Zimmerman said the exact same thing before an incident that has tarnished our country ever since it occurred.
I would do it the opposite, though.
Oh, okay.
I would do it the opposite. I'd kill the bad guys.
Oh,
and this is why Natalie won't let me have a gun, and so I'm stuck with only having my whip.
Yes, we went camping this weekend for my friend's bachelor party, and we had a BB gun. And I must say, that even that amount of power did kind of go to my head a little bit because it was extremely fun.
It's really fun. I remember the one time, another story of helping a bloody person. I was living with Eddie in a fucking horrible apartment. We were living like a total punk slum house. And our roommate, Palin, was a very good dude, comes like intense punk guy. Like, he was a chef at Hooters where Eddie worked. And he was like, he was a good dude.
Is that a prereq to be an intense punk guy? You have to work at a Hooters as a chef?
That was his name.
He just was. Okay.
Yeah, his name was Palin. Actually, I don't remember his real name. We called him Palin, which was a demon from fucking Paradise Lost.
Okay.
And that was what he called himself. And I woke up in the middle of the night. We drank all night like normal. And I got up. Henry, wake up. It's like 4:30 in the morning. I wake up. I'm still obvious. I'm very intoxicated.
Sure.
And he's like, my fucking hemorrhoids burst, man.
Ugh.
And he had this towel on.
This was Palin or Eddie?
Palin.
Oh, my.
His whole back of his towel was soaked in blood.
And he's like, I gotta go to the emergency room, man.
And so I had to take him to the emergency room, and he got blood all over my Hyundai Elantra.
Wow.
And I had to take it. Oh, man, that was rough. You got to take care of people.
I wish if you work in marketing and if you work at Hyundai or Honda, make that a commercial. Make that an ad, because that's a great sales pitch for that car. Unreal.
It is.
Yes.
Another quick update.
Okay.
So now we're back to aliens. The mystery of the New Mexico Solar Observatory is now, it seems to be over, the mystery, but we don't know what that means quite yet.
Okay.
Apparently they're saying they're opening it back up. The Sunspot Solar Observatory, it's near New Mexico Sacramento Peak, has been closed for 10 days because of what they're saying is a criminal investigation.
Okay.
Aura has been cooperating with an ongoing law enforcement investigation of criminal activity that occurred at Sacramento Peak, Aura representatives wrote in a statement Sunday. During this time, we became concerned that a suspect in the investigation potentially potentially pose a threat to the safety of local staff and residents.
I see.
For this reason, Aura temporarily vacated the facility and ceased science activities at this location. I love the term science activities.
Yes.
It's interesting. It's another, technically a statement that means nothing, but it does feed sort of, there's been a lot of rumors about whether or not they had discovered the technology ending solar flare,
right.
Which, oh, please, crossing my fingers. Or there was a possible theory that Chinese dissidents had set up a low bandwidth, low Wi-Fi sort of point. It's just kind of like a hotspot,
okay,
where they were siphoning information because the Aura station was really close to one of the outskirts of White Sands, which we know is one of our covert ops centers of our country, where we do a lot of new air technology and all that kind of bullshit. It's where the aliens are.
Is it possible that we have a sort of Pizzagate situation? Obviously, when a man brought a gun into Comet Pizza because he believed it was a pedophile ring, is it possible a UFO or UFO enthusiast wanted to get to the truth and threatened that entire staff and anyone who was in the building with a firearm to then get to the truth, sort of like the movie Canadian Bacon?
This is slander. This is slander is what you're doing. All of this is slander.
I don't know. It's possible.
No, none of this was said. I think it may have come from the post office that there's somebody who's going ham. Normally, it's somebody from the post office.
All right. Well, this is an interesting thing that was sent to me by a listener. It's a little bit old, but it plays into aliens, so I had to immediately share it with Henry. And I think you like this. This is a speech. Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley, he gave a speech on April 21st in 2016. They were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the ROTC program at Norwich University. And he kind of went off the rails with his speech a little bit, which has a lot of UFO enthusiasts, had them and currently has them still, really enthusiastic, even more than they were, because naturally they are already enthusiasts.
Oh, I see.
See? an enthusiast who's enthusiastic, that's a lot of enthusiasm.
I know what that tremor is. I know what that feeling is. It's that you're already vibrating, and then all of a sudden you're vibrating so hard you're making a noise.
Right.
I understand that. I'm excited. That's how I felt when the ATIP stuff came out.
So do we want to play this clip and you want to comment on it, or do you want to comment on it first?
Please.
Okay.
1945 was complex. The world of 2016 is intensely complex. And I can tell you that from personal experience, and I know there's many others who can tell you that as well. And you will graduate and be in that world, and you're going to be leading the soldiers and the sailors, the airmen and the Marines in that world. You'll be dealing with terrorists. You'll be dealing with hybrid armies. You'll be dealing with little green men. You're going to be dealing with tribes. You'll be dealing with national leaders and local leaders. You'll be dealing with politics and economics, and you'll be dealing with direct fire and indirect fire.
Somebody has the fucking guts to say it.
But I do want to point out, this is the ROTC. Isn't it a pretty intense speech, even without the little green men component of it? It's a lot. Like, I didn't realize the ROTC did that much. I thought it was more of like 2 weekends out of the month, you get away from your family, you have a couple of beers with your boys.
Well, what it seems to be, it's a little bit of an inspiring / exaggeration where they're saying the people of the ROTC will grow up to be important members of society, which I do. I mean, I don't know. I could not hack it.
No.
Imagine being to ROTC. I can't do any of this shit. I have no discipline.
I watched the movie Stripes and I was like, this is an intense movie. This is like a lot of training these dudes are doing. And most of the time they were just having fun.
That's the fact, Jack. I can't do this shit.
No.
And apparently most of that movie was improvised.
Really?
They didn't even write a fucking script for that movie.
That's
because they trusted them.
They were amazing too.
Could let slip a little bit of information there.
Okay.
We don't know. I think there's a lot of people that think about this quite often.
Of course.
I think that if there was a hybrid program, if there was some sort of insider knowledge that we're going to be faced with some form of physical attack or approach by an alien entity, the people of the ROTC, the people of the future of our military, should be aware of it.
Right.
But I don't know. In the end, this is where I get very confused. I think what's happening is that our U.S. government has been actively researching UFOs. They don't know what it is because it's not fully physical.
Right.
It is both. It is mental and physical.
Right.
And I think what they're trying to do is, now that at any point they're ready to pull that trigger to fake an alien invasion in order to swing martial law, in order to fucking do what they can't, create the camps.
Uh-huh.
They need to turn us into food for each other. We create the NWO. There are possibilities. At this point, I trust the NWO over what we have.
Well, technically, I think the NWO is still in existence. It began with Herbert Walker Bush. I believe he was the one who called for the New World Order to come to fruition, which is probably, in hindsight, not the greatest verbiage for a president to use because it has sort of taken off in the conspiracy world. But, you know, billionaires do run the world.
He was giving a tip of the cap.
Right.
To the powers that be that love to hide in plain sight.
Well, and as we saw with the Phoenix Lights, right? They came out and said they did recreate it. The Phoenix Lights, they recreated it with flares. And you know, Henry mentions martial law, but it has happened in the recent history with the Boston Marathon bombing. Obviously, we got to find the Sarnoff brothers. They were on the loose. They needed to find them, but that city was on lockdown, and that was where you really got to see an example of the government, when they want, when they can, for good reason, martial law certainly is something they have the capability of doing. So who knows?
Well, just that's why a bunch of people like the idea that you'd be in Florida and you think honestly that your friggin' what's his putz, your key, like your little six shooter you got,
oh sure,
is gonna beat the mech warriors.
No,
we're gonna be beating these mech warriors, nah, brah. They're coming for your fucking shit, dude. They want to come for your house. That's why we got to go underground. Or psychic weapons. If we can figure out how to join together, and this is not even a bit.
Right.
If we can figure out how to join together psychically and spiritually, we will be able to beat the hammering boot of the government that comes.
That is that is the thing that Jim Carrey's Riddler did in Batman Forever.
So Henry,
that is exactly what he did with television.
Henry's plan is to hide in a bunker and do DMT.
You think you're going to fucking come get me, man? I'm already gone.
Yeah, I agree with most of that, Travis, but not DMT. He would be doing D&D, and he would actually be really enjoying his life, he and some of our friends that he likes to play that wonderful creative game with. Okay,
see?
Do we want to do... Can I do this one story about this inmate in Florida?
Oh, I like this story. Yes.
Okay, so this story is pretty brutal. A Florida inmate brutally killed and mutilated by a fellow inmate. An inmate at a Florida prison who allegedly murdered his cellmate. Also, he didn't just kill him. He also gouged out his eyes. And in sort of a Ed Gein twist, he wore one of the guy's ears as a makeshift necklace. And he wore this around the jail for like... too long before the jail guards finally understood what happened. The attack was believed to happen Thursday morning. This was at a Columbia Correctional Institution, and with sources telling this paper that the killer, who has not yet been identified, left his victim's eyeballs in a cup with the intention of later eating or drinking them.
He was going to turn his eyeballs into Pruno?
I guess so.
Pretty
so the victim. Yeah, but if you are in prison, by the way, I'm not going to sit here and lie. If I was in prison, I would immediately be like, "Where is the Pruno? What do I have to get to what do I have to do to get the Pruno?" And if you're like, "What is in this, bro? Like what's in the Pruno? This one tastes really good."
Eyes, buddy.
Man. I'm here for tax evasion. Can we just...
I would very quickly become a Pruno sommelier.
Oh, you have to be. I really, honestly, I would love to taste it just once. Is it Mad Dog 2020? It has to be worse than Mad Dog.
It would be kind of fun where it's like, ooh, this is good wine, what it's made for. Then he's like, he's got it in the cup, and he's like, Yahtzee!
Oh.
And he throws it out. Yeah, they bank off the
man.
Fucking corners and shit.
Well, it is God, sad. The inmate that was murdered, he was a 58-year-old. His name was Larry Mark, and he was serving a life sentence for murder that he committed in 1981. So he had actually been in there for quite a while, and you would think... You know, I get it, man. Just having a roommate in a spacious two-bedroom or three-bedroom is hard. Having a roommate, having a cellmate, we kind of laugh about it, but really think about What a nightmare that is. The snoring, just watching them go to the bathroom constantly. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're
also a murderer.
They're also a murderer.
Crime.
Right.
Both of you, I imagine, are not really great with strangers to begin with. And now you have to do this immediate meet cute where you're having. Yeah, it's very, very intense. I'm not going to do well in jail.
No.
If I ever go, I can't go. But the thing, and I can see it, you get mad.
Oh, absolutely. So this is according to a statement from the correctional facility. They said they're working with our partners at the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to investigate this death and ensure that everyone responsible is held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Florida corrections officers have, and this is how they kind of made an excuse here, Florida corrections officers have an extremely difficult job, and we ask and expect a lot of them, despite the staffing challenges that exist at our institution. I would say the one thing that you could try to do is make sure that the cellmates aren't gouging each other's eyes out,
attempting to make a
Kool-Aid out of somebody's retina.
And you know how you know when the eyeballs are about to get gouged out? You'll hear this from a cell. Hey, man, what you looking at?
Uh-oh.
Nothing. It's like, I feel like you're looking at me for something. Nah, I'm just looking over there. You happen to walk across my frame of sight. Yeah? Yeah? Oh, yeah? I'll give you something to look at. How about this fucking spoon?
Oh, my goodness.
And as soon as you hear a fucking spoon, you go in there and you grab him because he's going to pop his eyes out. Because I feel like this would lead to a bunch of copycat crimes.
Sure, sure. I watch a lot of those prison shows, and obviously prison violence is extremely common. But if somebody asks you what you're looking at and you're in a cell, you got bars or like three walls and then like that little window. I mean, there's not a lot of options, so it should be pretty easy to figure it out.
A good way to cut tension in a prison cell is instead of saying, what are you looking at, say, penny for your thoughts. Because that's really how you do. Lead with kindness.
Right.
Lead with curiosity instead of immediately threatening and accusing people. Be curious about people. Ask questions. And when you ask a question, listen. Because that's how you get to know people. And then we're talking about building bridges instead of building walls.
But I agree. Like, get to know your cellmates. Like, why do they call him White Power Bill? Like, what is the story behind that?
I don't know if that's the best advice. I think you want to know them very, very little. Because if they turn out to be a pedophile, you have to, by prison code, kill them. And now, even if you're in there for, like, your sneakers were untied and you were on probation, and they're like, you know, you got to have your sneakers tied on probation because you got 15 parking tickets and you didn't pay them. Then now you have to go murder a pedophile, and then you're in there for life.
And it's like, for me, what would I be? I would be in jail probably for practicing medicine without a license because I'd be doing the Patch Adams thing. Like, I would be going and like trying to laugh people away. Yeah, but he was.
Yes.
But I'm saying I would go and just pretend to be a doctor or wear a lab coat. I do the funny thing where they talk about how Robin Williams went and he visited Christopher Reeves.
Oh,
do you hear that story? And he went and he was joking and he laughed the first time. Oh, that's such a nice story.
It's a sad story with Christopher Reeves. I haven't thought about that in forever. He's always Superman to me. He's always Superman.
Yes, absolutely. He was the best Superman. All the other Supermans can suck my dick.
They really can. Now they're thinking about Michael B. Jordan to be Superman, and there are some people who are upset. I'm like, no, every Superman. I'm like, who cares?
They're all fake.
You know what else isn't real? Flying. So anyway,
you know what makes me so mad? So we're all mad that a black person wants to play Superman. I think it's great. And no one saying anything about a British person playing fucking Charles Manson?
Or Jim Carrey playing the villain in Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'm saying Superman better be black. I want him to be. Let him be anything. Michael B. Jordan's a far better actor than those other two guys playing Superman. They would be fucking blessed to have him play Superman.
As far as it can be Peter Dinklage all the way up to George Mirasan. Of course, a famed actor from My Giant.
George Mirasan's, I'm going to straight up say, I'm sorry, he's too fucking ugly. Superman's got to be fucking handsome.
What are you? You just went on a whole diatribe about how anyone can be Superman, and now denouncing one of the most a center who was a center the NBA. That's a little ridiculous.
Unfortunately, there is a look. You do have to have a look. You have to. It's like James Bond. Idris Elba, great replacement for Daniel Craig.
Sure.
Because he's handsome,
right.
He's suave, he's debonair. Superman got to look like a super, 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 super handsome everyman. Right? That's what it has to be.
What's more everyman than someone 7'7" who also had a pretty good three-point shot?
He looks like Lurch.
Oh, leave him alone. See, that's the sizeism of Hollywood that no one talks about, by the way. I walk into auditions and they laugh, and they laugh at me. And that's why I've been chosen to only have my voice heard, because no one can look at my body.
You chose
and that's
this.
The truth. No, I had to. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be Chris Farley. But you're the one with the body of Chris Farley. And I am not. I am the one with the body of Michael Jordan. But if Michael Jordan ever worked out.
Yeah, but you get all the attention. You get all the unwanted attention of people wondering why you aren't playing basketball or football.
Yeah, I do love it. Oh, I love it.
Ugly men do still have the option to play Bizarro, who does.
Absolutely.
Who does speak like he has a head injury.
You know who else I think would have been a great Superman? Mr. Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell is Superman. Nicolas Cage also would have been a great Superman.
Would have been a fantastic Superman.
Maybe the best.
And the costume changes for it. Yes, they did those costume tests, and it was a bit sexual in terms of the costume. But I'm fine with it. I like a more erotic Superman. But it's like Batman. Batman, you have to have a strong chin. It's the one thing you have to have is a strong-ass chin. Wonder Woman, you have to have pert buttocks,
sure.
Which I've seen on Gal Gadot. I watch them.
To be fair, they all have to have a pretty strong buttocks.
You have to. Everyone's got to be pert.
Do we have any more stories, or do you just want to wrap it up?
I think we'll wrap it up for now, and then we got more updates next week. We have a bunch more stories. We've got a bunch more side stories coming at you these next couple of weeks. Please send them to us at thelastpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Send us any ideas for stories. Because people have been sending me people have been sending me stories on like Twitter and Instagram and shit. The problem is you just get lost.
Because
we're in a weird space right now where I get many messages. So I don't really, I don't catch them all. So send them to the email so that we can actually properly go through them and document them.
Yes, and thank you for all the side story suggestions. They've been great. The side story suggestions have been wonderful. All right. Yes, thank you all so much for listening. Thanks for giving to our Patreon. We love you very much. Without you, none of this would have been possible. And, social media, Ben Kissel 1, Dr. Fantasty, Henry Loves You on Twitter. I'm Ben Kissel on Twitter. Kind of exists, but not really.
All that fucking horseshit.
It doesn't matter.
You know what I'm now about living, laughing, and loving?
What about
Is that my thing, like, if you're adding a G, you're being a little uptight.
Really?
I think the only really way to do it is no G's.
What do you mean?
So it's like living, laughing.
Oh.
Loving. No G's, because G's, what are we? Is this fucking work? Is this the office? No.
I'm
not living, laughing, and loving at the office. At the office, I'm plotting, devastating, and lying.
Right.
That's what I'm doing at the office.
So
but in my real life, I want to be living, laughing, and loving.
That's why, I see what you're saying there. There was a male guy when I worked in that office for about half a year before I got entirely too sick of it. And the mailman always would say, the guy who would drop off the letters, he would say, oh, I'm living. But it seemed like he was dying. So
yeah, man, you were really lucky you were not his first fucking victim.
No.
Because he was kind of that's it.
That's it.
Maybe you don't know what these guys are going to do. You don't know how
these
guys are going to pop off. You don't know who's going to go.
I know.
So you just be nice to everyone you meet because you don't know who's going to end up making you their first victim.
Absolutely. Steve Buscemi in Happy Gilmore taught us that. Or was it Billy Madison? Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, glad I called that guy.
Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison taught us that. My God. Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Thank you, Travis, for all of your hard work.